Boom.
Recording.
Welcome, everybody. Tony DiLorenzo and Alisa here.
Whoa. And Alisa? What the heck is
and
that?
And the beautiful Alisa.
Thank you.
You got me all rushed, girlfriend.
Well, rushed or not, like, there's an introduction. There's the way an introduction goes.
Preach it, Alisa.
Thank you. All right. Oh, from your bubble bath.
What? Come on, Shanna. Good for you.
That's awesome.
There you go. Travis, why aren't you in there with her?
No, actually, you know what?
What?
Yay that she's in there by herself. Well, we assume she's by herself. Maybe Travis is in there. But but if not, yay for her just getting quiet to herself time.
All right, let's hit it because we have some of you on the East Coast.
That need to go to bed.
And that need to go to bed. So you got the first one. What we're doing here today, we got some great questions. And for us, this is what these live calls are about, are getting on, doing your questions. If we have some time at the end, we'll just go over what's happening in Position of the Month Club in your members area. But first and foremost, we want to hit your questions because those are the most important. What's up, Tammy? It's a small tub. Uh-huh. I gotcha. All right. So that means you need to get a hot tub there. All right, you guys. Let's get it going.
Okay. I'm just going to read this straight from the post. And Kimberly had posted this. She said, yeah, I'm feeling called to make a major shift in my life. Forever, I've been an avocational musician. I'm a very good flutist and have managed to be able to play at a very high level while maintaining a demanding career in a different profession. Before marriage, Jared, I married in our mid-40s. Doing both was tenable. Since marriage, I've continued to play and perform, but I'm increasingly recognizing how it separates me from my spouse. This troubles me deeply as I've often felt selfish about it. In fact, I've seen how I've made playing my drug of choice as it's provided me with so much fulfillment and ego-boosting experience. Thinking that the person I'm standing next to might be able to relate to that. A big part of my identity has been tied up in this activity since childhood. In fact, I've been able to rationalize it even more as part of my worship practice, since I play frequently in my church. The call I'm leaning toward is giving myself a sabbatical and explore what not having music in my life as I know it currently feels like. As I approach this idea, I feel sadness, emptiness, but I also feel relief. To not always have the I've got to practice pressure would be so lovely. I feel excitement that the opportunity more time could open up for my marriage and life in general. It feels like it'll be a shedding of old stuff and an opening to do something completely different. Has anyone here been called in a similar manner? I wonder what Bible verses might be useful, what type of questions you've asked yourself, and what helped you know you had found peace in the process.
All right. So
funny, we were just talking about this earlier today.
And if you guys want to chime in, we'd love to hear what you got to say. You can post it here on Facebook and we can read it. First and foremost, Kim, totally. And I don't know if you like going by Kim or Kimberly. I get mixed up there. But either way, totally relate. And thank you. Either is fine. Because I started cycling when I was 14 and cycling was my identity for so many years. It's what kept me sane through my high school years. I had parents who loved me, but honestly didn't know how to raise a teenage boy. So my cycling buddies who were older, that was my tribe. Those were the guys I hung out with. Those are the guys I did things with. So I can understand that. Through college, though, I did step away. Even when Elisa and I first had met, I wasn't doing a lot of cycling. It was years after when I finally got off my whole PCT, like hiking, backpacking trip and mountaineering and climbing, that I got back into cycling. And the kids were younger. And I found that it was just a really good outlet for me to get away from just the craziness that I felt at home. Would you agree?
The craziness of wife and kids can easily be escaped by a bicycle.
It was my drug of choice. It truly was. I didn't drink a ton of alcohol. I didn't do drugs at that point in time, but cycling became that drug of choice for me to get away. Was it healthy? Sure thing. Did it serve this passion? And, you know, people could look at it and go, wow, Tony, you're doing such an amazing thing. It got out of control. I went from doing, you know, 15, 20 mile rides into the 40s and 50s. And then that turned into 60s and 80s. That turned into 100 to 150s. And then my ultimate goals were 200 mile bike rides, events. And in the course of I want to say 5 years, maybe it was. Over the course of 5 years, I ended up riding 10 double sentries. And each one of those double sentries takes a ton of time to ramp up to, stay in condition for. So I was gone a lot. I was gone a lot.
That may be the biggest understatement that you ever hear come out of a One Extraordinary Marriage a release. He was gone a lot. I mean, here's the thing. Tony worked full time and he would actually...
Did I ever feel guilty? that's a great question.
Truth, Tyler.
Yeah, truth, Tyler. For the longest time, Kim, no. I really didn't. But then like you, there comes a profound part in of your life where you start going, am I missing out on a lot? Mm-hmm. And is this so selfish that it's all about me, that I'm missing out on my kids growing up and missing out on my wife? And not only did I go on those bike rides, I would go on those bike rides and then I'd be so spent after riding 6 to 8 hours or 4 to 8 hours, depending on what it was, especially the training rides, I'd come home, shower, eat, and fall asleep. So I was spent for the entire weekend. And then would honestly, if that was on a Saturday, on Sunday. So yeah, as I started going through and I saw my kids growing up, yeah, guilt was definitely prevalent and would eventually took me to the point of taking that sabbatical, to getting away from it and getting some perspective on my life, because I felt it was so out of whack. I was waking up 4:30 in the morning, working out hard, going to work all day, doing One Extraordinary Marriage. So when I got to that point of feeling guilty, and Elisa and I had some choice words. Elisa, I can remember just being so frustrated with me.
I used to refer to the bike as his mistress.
Mm-hmm. She totally did. I forgot that.
I'm like, you know, she is the other woman in our marriage.
Yeah, Paul's chiming in too, saying the same thing with running.
Here's the thing. Yep. He would ride her all the time. I mean, you want to talk about puns? I mean, we could like totally go on this, right?
Yeah.
But there was such a great desire to actually spend time with his bike, with his biking buddies. And, you know, granted, when our kids were little, they were a handful. Like a lot of you have kids who are a handful and you've got a lot of obligations. And I just remember the resentment that would build up, because it's like, okay, you're gone all week working and we love the fact that you provide for our family. Like that was Tony's gift to me, to be able to stay home with the kids. But then on the weekends, I was like, hey. And he's like, well, I got to ride, right? I got to get out. I got to, you know, like I'm training. Mm-hmm. And people would be like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing what Tony does. I'm like, yeah, it's so amazing, you know, because he keeps himself healthy, right? So you can't argue, like in our case, I couldn't argue because he was healthy, but I could argue with the amount of time. And so I think, you know, the points that you bring up, yes, it was definitely pre-intimacy lifestyle. I just saw that comment. Yeah, and Shannon, you're right. Too much of any one thing is a bad thing and eventually turns into an idol. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that is so, so true. And that's what it had become. Cycling had become my idol, and taking a step away from it, I think the best part of was I got some perspective on what cycling meant for me, for my marriage, for my family. And now, I mean, a 30 mile ride is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I get it in. I enjoy what I do now. It's a hobby. It's not all consuming to be a part of it anymore. It's something I do because I love it and I can enjoy it again. Because I remember, like you said, Kim, just performing and having to feel like you have to perform and do these things. I felt the same way. And it was so much stress on me that when I did get to take that step away, I got to just breathe. And now when I get on my bike, it may not be every weekend or every week anymore, because of things that are going on. I want to see Alex, our oldest, play football, and I won't miss it. And if it means his game's on a, you know, on a Saturday, or we're up late on a Friday because of it, then I miss it. We volunteer. We're leaders at our church now on Sundays. So where in the past I would have missed church, now I won't, because I really believe that we need to be there and doing that. So there definitely was, the five stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
I think you definitely go through that. And you have to work through each one of those. And I think with you doing the Miracle Morning, that's something right now where you're in a good place where you can be able to work through that, especially through your scribing and writing and what you're feeling and allowing yourself to go through that. And so that's what I would say with this. And I know Elisa could bring up way too many times of me just not being present in the marriage during those years.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a different, I'm married to a different guy now that the bike isn't mm-hmm. his primary focus. Like, we love it. And we encourage him now to, like, there are just times where we're all like, hey, go for a bike ride. Go. Yay. But because it's not, well, if dad's going to go for a bike ride, if Tony's going to go for a bike ride, he's shot for the day. Mm-hmm. Right. He goes for a couple hours. We come back. We run to the beach. We go shopping together. We go and do stuff. And I think that's, you know, with anything, you know, Paul, I saw that you had made a mention in the comments that you've done the same thing with marathon
ultra,
running.
Ultras.
And working up to ultra marathons. And, you know, Tony did that too.
Yep.
I am married to a guy that when he does something, he does it 100%. And he goes, he's an endurance athlete, right? You know, we're talking 200-mile bike rides. We're talking hiking the PCT. We're talking ultra marathons, right? So distance is in his DNA. And so for him to, you know, come to the point where he's like, you know what, I'm not going to do this. It changed the dynamic in our marriage. And Kim, I would encourage you to, you know, as you're going through this season, you're going to have the five stages of grief, right? There are going to be times when you're like, I just want to pick up my flute again. Do so, right? Do so, get it out, but play for the sheer enjoyment of playing. Like, Tony goes out now for the sheer enjoyment of riding. No obligation, no build to, you know, the next ride, you know, double century and, you know, getting the triple crown designation. Triple crown here in California is 300 200-mile rides in a year. You know, we're not working towards that. Right now he just goes out and rides because he loves to be on the bike.
And again, Shanna said it perfectly, I think. And, you know, too much of any one thing is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It can really start to be detrimental to our marriage. And we have to see that. And hopefully that is helpful. I can almost imagine that, mm-hmm. just playing for the sheer joy, Kim says. Yeah, you know what I mean? And so I would say at this point in time, you know, you said, was this pre-intimacy lifestyle? Most definitely. Good things have come out of it. Like, I don't look back and go, oh my gosh, this is the worst decision I ever made. And I look back and I go, man, look how much I've grown. Elisa and I have grown, and I just want to be healthy and not feel like, wow, I have to do this. It's a hobby. I don't get paid to ride. So that's my piece there.
Well, and Tammy also had the comment, performing is a seriously intense commitment. We've had mm-hmm. to have sabbaticals from it to gain perspective too.
Yeah. So. And they're performing arts and worship leaders or play and on their the worship whole family, team, their whole family.
Like
yeah.
everybody. And the De La Rosa family is
you don't performer. Get paid either, Kim. So that's, you got to take that into perspective. And there are times when we've said this too, is that you got to put up those guardrails, and there are times you got to just say no to everything else because you got to build on you guys. You got to pull together. And that may be a time. It may be, hey, I'm going to just take some time away, period. One last thing, and then I'm going to finish this. So we went through that. And then about 4 years ago now, 5 years ago now, a very dear friend of mine who I cycled with a ton, did numerous double centuries with, was killed on the bike. Freak accident, actually very close to where we live, less than probably a half a mile uh-huh. away from where we live right now. My friend was killed on his bike. And I'll tell you, that made me like, whoa, like really think about it. I think we even talked about it on the show because if it was 5 years mm-hmm. ago, we talked about it on the show, and that was devastating. It really took the wind out of my sail when it came to cycling, and I took a long time off the bike. I couldn't even get on the bike because of that incident, but it just made me present to God more and, really just look at where we were in our own marriage and how, I could just be a better person and a better husband overall. So that's the last of that. So let's hit the next one. We've already been jumping in.
We, by the way, guys, we love having these questions to really dig into with mm-hmm. you guys. We want this to be a really vital component of the Position of the Month Club because yeah. you can read the position paper, you can take a look at the marriage inspiration, but this is where we really get to have the interaction mm-hmm. with you and say, okay, what questions can we answer? What, you know, it's kind of that like mini coaching sessions. For any of you that have coached with me, you know what that's like, but this is kind of like focused, what do they call it? Hot seat. Yeah, it's like the hot mm-hmm. seat where it's like, we're just going to focus on it 10, 15 minutes. So here's the next one. And this actually got posted, I think it was earlier today.
And I just want to, while you're looking at that, I just want to hit these. Paul said, I didn't take a sabbatical from running, but I tapered it a lot and just love getting out on a short trail run now. Awesome. It sounds very similar in that sense of just like, I got to take some time. And then Paul again said, I took a three-month sabbatical from leading worship a few years ago when I was working through depression. The sabbatical was a big part of my recovery. So again, you're seeing folks talk about just different seasons and taking a step back in a way to evaluate and assess. And we have to be able to do that.
One of the things, just to get the last word here, is that oftentimes, I know you guys have heard us say this on the show, that sometimes you have to say no to the good in order to be able to say yes to your spouse, in order to be able to say yes to the great that's coming for your marriage. And so just keep that in mind that you know, you don't have to give up anything forever, but maybe it's the right thing to do for a season. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Here's the next one.
Next one. All right. This is from Paul. I listened to episode 404 with my wife and asked her if we could consider one for 2018. This was a post on sex challenges. Have you done one? You know, are you looking at doing one, whatever? She said, no thanks. So not sure what to do with that, but I'm praying. And I think this is a great, great question because honestly, we've heard it a ton of times. This isn't something new. I mean, we have a ton of folks who go, oh my gosh, I found you guys. I saw the 7 days of sex challenge. I brought it up to my spouse and they were just like,
no. And the fact is that this year, 2018, will actually be the 10th anniversary of the 60 days of sex challenge. This is it's another anniversary year for us. We've got all kinds of stuff. We just had the 8th anniversary of the show on Tuesday, the 10th, or no, yesterday, the 10th. At the end of September, October will be the 10th anniversary of the 60 days of sex challenge. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at things like the sex challenge, when you look at this dynamic in your marriage, you start looking at all the different components. And when I saw that comment, my first question, well, I had a couple questions. One is that a no, not ever? Or is it a no, not right now? Because maybe we're in a crazy busy season with obligations, be it at church or at work or with kids. And mm-hmm. She's just thinking, oh geez, like I have no more bandwidth, but get me to the summer. Right when I can just breathe a little because I don't have all of this going on. So partly it's no, not ever, no, not ever, or no, not now. And it's also looking at what do you feel is the challenge for being able to do this, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes we don't know what's going on in our spouse's head, actually most of the time, like if we can be real honest. I've tried after 23 years with this dear sweet man, and every once in a while, it's like, oh, there's a glimmer. We're on the same wavelength. And then just like that, we're like,
Not there.
And we've had times even in our own marriage where doing a sex challenge, it's like, we should really do this now. And I'm like, yeah, not right now. Mm-hmm. And you guys even know, like last year, there were 3 weeks left in the year.
And we squeaked it in.
When we squeaked it in, I'm just going to read. Okay, so just a little more background. So Paul says he's the higher desire spouse. They've been doing the intimacy lifestyle for about 9 months after 20 years of struggle.
That's huge, man.
But when my wife thinks about the possibility, she starts feeling anxiety and nervous about it. So I'm hoping for a 7-day challenge. But right now she's saying no thanks. Here's another thing that I've seen happen with a lot of couples too, is that you don't have to necessarily call it the 7 days of sex challenge. Right? If the word challenge causes anxiety, please stop using the word challenge. Mm-hmm. Let's just see how many days in a row we could have sex. Right? Like, let's just see. I mean, maybe you'll get 2 or 3 days and you did it and you're like, oh, let's throw a party. Party for two, mm-hmm. right? Like you don't have to have a whole, like, let's bring all the friends over and say we had sex 3 days in a row. But you start looking at, I've had couples that I've worked with who have done, all of a sudden they find that they've had sex 3 days in a row and they're like, what would day four look like? And they're like, well, we've done four. And at least Antonio always say that day four is probably the hardest because after that, you're just kind of sliding in to, five, six, and seven. Yeah, and you just add, mm-hmm. right? But sometimes the words that we use actually create obstacles in our head, right? Some people hear the word challenge and they see that as a roadblock. Like, this is going to be hard for me or I can't do this.
Or what if I fail? Mm-hmm. What if I get 3 days in and we miss the fourth day and then we end up doing four more days. You know, we didn't really do the challenge. And I think, gosh, Tammy, can you chime in here on Facebook? And if you're still there, if I'm correct, the first time you guys ever tried one, that happened to you guys. And I remember us just sort of going back and forth a little bit, discussing that with you, that it wasn't a failure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You still accomplished something that you'd never done before. So a lot of people will, like Elisa said, with the challenge, it's all or nothing. And that can really cause some anxiety for some folks. Yes. Okay. I'm glad I remembered that one. And I just remember even somebody as well in Position of the Month Club mentioning that, like Elisa said, it was just like, let's just see how many days we can go and let's mm-hmm. celebrate that, you know? And for that couple, I think it was like they did three or four. And by that time they're like, oh, we're almost there. Let's just do a few more and call it good. So the wording we do use can, for some folks, cause that anxiety, that worry. Like, what if I don't like it? Mm-hmm. What if you start, here's something, Paul, though, too, that might be of interest. And we've brought it up at times in the past where maybe for a number of reasons, medically, it's tough to do mm-hmm. intercourse for 7 days in a row. But what is it that you two can do together that could constitute as one? In an emotional sense, in a spiritual sense. Because I think sometimes when we set a goal together, we do find it easier to do the next goal together if we can go, man, we did two different things, you know, over the last 4 months that we didn't think was going to be possible, but we did them together, which is, you know, I think for most couples, we don't dream together. We don't set goals together. So then it's like, it's hard for us to see that together. And I think, Paul, you can understand that ultramarathoner, that was just you solo, man. Mm-hmm. It's just you against each mile. Same here. Me against each mile. Every mile I you know, put in the bag is a mile closer to the finish line. But you guys coming together as a team, setting up a goal together, going, we're gonna have a discussion every night for 7 days.
I love Tammy's Emotion. Comment there. It took several times trying before we started understanding it's not about going perfect, but communicating. I saw it as a challenge and it was about doing something, right? Not about us. When it became about us, it was a whole new perspective. Mm. And I think, you know, especially when you've been challenged in this particular area, if sexual intimacy has been a challenge in your marriage, then even getting to the point where you're saying, you know what, I would consider it. Maybe what we need to do is sit down and define it for ourselves, mm-hmm. right? It's just like defining the intimacy lifestyle. The way that Tony and I do it is not the way that you all do it. Mm-hmm. I know that because we've got the paramedic couple that only sees each other 10 days a month. And so their schedule is like all color coded. We've got, you know, all of the first responders that I work with who have rotating shifts of days off and on at night and on during the day. Well, good grief, right? What we've got is pretty easy compared to that. Mm. Oh, you know, yeah. Some of you are having sex four times a week. And so you're looking at like every other day. So just like that, you need to make the 7 days of sex challenge, the 7 days of sex adventure, you know, make it your own. Mm-hmm. Consider it the first win when you have the conversation around it. Mm-hmm. The next win is when you define it for yourselves. And maybe you start off and it's not 7 days. What would 3 days look like? Right? And you make it your own, because here's the thing, like everything we do, and this actually goes into the next point that Travis brought up about Miracle Morning.
Yeah.
That everything that we share with you guys here at One, all of the resources, take them and make them your own, right? We give you a framework. We give you a template that you get to say, you know what? What does this look like for us? And
where is Travis? Travis had a great one.
Well, earlier today we had, you know, he had put in a post about, let me find it real quick.
Miracle Morning, because yeah. There's a number of us going through that, seeing how that impacts our lives. Individually, but also how does that impact even for myself, how does that impact my ability to be a husband, a father, and what we do here? And for myself personally, I'm feeling pretty good other than some mornings, almost talking myself out of it. But luckily we're just going. I just get up and just make it happen.
So Travis said, I've been thinking about the Miracle Morning Challenge as it relates to your tagline of being busy is overdone, and wonder if sometimes some of this is another form of busy. You guys can all like jump in to see it but he...
Yeah, it was pretty lengthy.
Yeah, which is why I'm so glad that his wife is sitting in a bathtub right now, chilling. you know, but he says, you know, there's a finite amount of time available. You know, if we're waking up at 5:30 to win the morning, we're going to have to go to sleep earlier. And where do we trade that time? Because we're staying, you know, we're not getting to bed before midnight and things like that with our schedules. And so, you know, it brought up a really good point that and again, this kind of goes back to the intimacy lifestyle and the 7 days of sex challenge. Make this your own. If you read his post, you see that they're actually doing a lot of the components.
Yeah, they really are.
Of the miracle morning. They're doing the growth part in terms of reading, they're journaling, they're getting their exercise in, they're doing all of these different things. It looks different and it's working for them. Here's the thing, guys, if it's working, don't worry about it.
Call it good.
If it's working, this is another tool. Like for us, it has shifted our morning. And I don't feel like it's one more thing. I actually feel like, you know, there's some definite, for us, some definite byproducts. Like we're going to bed earlier. We're getting off the computers earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm like, that's
and I even posted in there. For me, it honestly has made my evening time more structured because I found myself sitting on my phone or sitting behind the computer, calling it work or research, but really being busy and, you know, falling into bed at 11, 12 o'clock at night, really having nothing gained. Where now we're very intentional as a couple and even as a family, getting our kids to bed, getting those electronics turned off, TVs, phones, everybody just like, you need to be in your rooms by 9 o'clock, reading books, doing whatever. Alex is now getting up and lifting at 6:30 in the morning. So we have to have him at the weight room. So one of us is driving him there.
Which is a good thing that we'd already started Miracle Morning, because now, like, I don't feel like I have to get up extra early to take him. I'm like, okay, that's just the end of the Miracle Morning.
It's just added. I would also say, again, Shanna brought it up. Anything we do too much, if it's a one thing and it becomes that idol, then I think we got to reassess it. And we do this in our lives and have done in our lives a number of times. So it's looking at it going, is this really fulfilling a purpose? And if not, then is it time to say no? And I think it's okay to say that, even though a lot of us struggle with that. You also brought up, Travis, doing just the 6-minute one, the 6-minute version. I've done that. Honestly, dude, it's pretty cool, because especially on the Saturdays and Sundays, because I do like to maybe sleep in a little bit, go, if I get my ride in, I'm getting my ride in. I don't really feel like the need to go through that whole thing first thing in the morning. So it's like, get up, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, half an hour. You only want to hit 5 minutes each, call it good. Some of us I know, including myself, you know, just taking each one and doing it throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully it's not just something that you're just trying to click off the list. I will say personally, for those of you, I try to do the hour, but I don't sit 10 minutes in every single one.
Mm-hmm.
If I get my affirmations done in 5 minutes, then I'm done in 5 minutes. If my visualization is done in 3, 5, 7 minutes, it's done and I'm moving on to the next thing. If my reading ends up being 15 minutes because I'm engrossed in my book, then it's 15 minutes. My goal is to be around that hour mark, give or take. I'm not a stickler on it. I found that was easier for me, and not feeling like, oh my gosh, I didn't do it, and the Miracle Morning police are going to come over here and slap my hand or something.
And not even the Elisa police, because I actually don't follow the 10-minute rule either.
She doesn't either. Does that help, Travis? And we'll probably have some more conversations when we meet up here.
I want to share one more thing.
Go for it.
So I did a interview yesterday on Going Deeper. This is completely off of sort of what's going on in Position of the Month Club, although it does tie into the whole time inventory component of the month.
Make sure you guys grab that membership area, Marriage Inspiration.
Yes.
Grab that planner. I think it's 5 pages, 4 or 5 pages, but it's killer. It's worth doing.
And just as another note before I jump into what I was about to say, I want you guys to know that everything that you're getting is because I've recognized the need with coaching clients. And we said, if the coaching clients need this, we're going to give it to all of the Position of the Month Club members first. So you guys get what's in my head for my coaching clients. And then I'm like, sweet, we're going to create it. We're going to give it to them. And then I'm going to use it with my coaching clients. So that's how a lot of this stuff comes about. But yesterday I had the opportunity to interview on the One Extraordinary Marriage Facebook page is... I'm trying not to be too... That's only funny because you're an attorney.
Brother. You're good, man. We love you, dude.
But on the Facebook page, I interviewed Lisa Woodruff of Organized 365, and she's a home organizer. And a full disclosure, you all have been listening to the podcast. You know this comes as no surprise. Lisa is the messy spouse.
I wish I could take our camera and show you our office, which is right underneath my laptop. I breathe heavily and deep. I shouldn't say heavily, but I have very deep breaths when I come into Lisa's office.
I'm working on it. In fact, Lisa said I could give you organization as a Valentine's Day present. Happy Valentine's Day early.
Organize your underwear and let's call it good.
Matching sets.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
But she has this 100 days of organizing. So if any of you listening to this are like, oh my gosh, like her whole thing, guys, it was crazy. I'm talking to her and I go, what's your philosophy about this? And she goes, you only focus on what you can do. And I'm like, hashtag, what can I do? And, you know, she's talking about mindset and she's talking about having systems and she's talking about being intentional. I'm like, you've written the home organization that like matches up with what we say. So I'm going to drop a link in
where?
I'm going to drop a link in the comments here with this so you guys can just see this 100 days of organizing. I'm totally jumping on board. She actually opened it a few weeks ago and closed it and then decided that because we've got this Martin Luther King weekend, she was going to open it again and just and let everybody kind of come in here at this point in time and just go out and you'll see it. I'll put a link to it. But basically, I'm super excited. My dream job is working in a container store.
Are you serious? That's awesome, Shannon. You guys are killing me.
So
basically we're going to have a link for that. You can check it out. If it's for you, go grab
it. Go for it. I wanted to share it because she was speaking basically our language,
yeah,
but in the home organizing place, yeah, which made me just like fall in love with her.
Yeah. So Travis, I want to hit you here. You said rush mornings and a cluttered house are our main problems. Dude, you're speaking our language. So for me, rush mornings, I was getting up at 7 a.m. typically 6:30 or 7, like, oh, that's no big deal. And then you guys are killing it. Okay. And I'll get here. So, but that was my problem. Like I was getting up and I'd be feeling rushed and then I'd go right to my phone, which was the worst thing to do. And I'd open my emails the first thing to do. And man, you guys are such a blessing because we know we can come to Position of the Month Club and just see you guys just like going after your marriage. But when you see some of the marriage emails we get that are, I mean, their marriages are just falling apart and they're mad at us or they're, start your morning like that and it can spiral down quick. So this just helped me just to stay focused and know that what we're doing isn't just about Elisa and I, it's really about taking you guys and really impacting marriages around the world. So that really helped me to calm down, take some deep breaths, really get ready for my morning. And even being awake just before the kids, I like that feeling. The cluttered house, dude, I've just gone to the point where I just close doors.
But can I just say one funny thing? Because total transparency with you guys, Tony talks about his rushed mornings, but I was the one getting up early, getting all the kids stuff and getting the kids out the door. I'm trying to figure out what you had to do in the morning that got you so rushed.
Well, because I would be getting up late. And then so say like on a Tuesday morning, the show comes out. And in my mind, it's like, I got to get through all these emails. I got to make sure that the show gets posted into different places. And then I got to make sure that everything is set, ready to go. Cause usually we're sending out a broadcast email to the one family, making sure all those are going. Then if I have a meeting, then if I haven't to get out of the house by a certain time and get to that meeting by a certain time, the time frame was too rushed. I only had an hour, maybe an hour and a half to get all that done. So I'm rush to get out where now that's a little more laid back and have a good breakfast and all that jazz.
There you go. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you,
Shanna. And Travis, I think it's funny that she'd be fired before lunch.
And Tammy's like, I'm the messy spouse too, Elisa.
I know that there's a tribe of us. And that's why, guys, like, that's why I'm committed. Like, I'm going to do Lisa's program. I'm going to jump in. This is my gift to Tony. This morning I was late to, but I'm even mad with it. I wanted alone time before. Yeah. If you do have kids, That alone time in the morning, I don't care if you do an hour, I don't care if you do 20 minutes.
There's 5 minutes even sometimes.
If I gets a little short, like all you right. can't quite get into it. But just having that quiet time mm-hmm. before somebody starts saying the word mom. Mom, where is this? Mom, what about this? Mom, did you sign this? Mom. Do it for your own sanity.
Yeah.
Just do it.
And we're all dealing with different dynamics, right? Those of us with kids. So we're dealing with our spouse.
Uh-huh.
And then the morning's going, and then we're dealing with
different kid personalities.
I'm up and I'm going. Like I've always been sort of that guy. Is once I'm up, I'm going. But Elisa's sort of like, give me some time. My Abster's, she is like, Dad. Even this morning, because Elisa was at prayer, Abby's like, Dad, you're just a little too happy in the morning. And I had a laugh because I'm going, Abby, let's go. This is what we got.
He wants to talk to the kids in the morning. Some of you made me marry. Okay, like again. Here's just a little extra bonus today. Some of you may be the let's like jump out of bed and go and let's start talking to our spouses.
See you later, Kimberly.
First thing in the morning. Yes, good night, Kimberly. First thing in the morning, let's just like, ah, it's a great day. And some of you may be married to people that kind of need to like ease into their day.
So we got I'm just going to say, dynamics.
If your spouse kind of needs to ease into the day, close your mouth until they've eased into the day.
But it will
go
tough.
Better. Yeah, go say your affirmations. Go do your visualizations. Go be loud somewhere else. Don't talk to those of us that need to ease into the day.
I know.
It's better for marriage.
It's part of what we go through. Does it? Hey, man, it's real life, and that's what we're all dealing with at times. And sometimes it's just going to run so smoothly and perfectly, and other times it's going to be, man. It's going to take me a little bit to get moving. Shanna, I'm very no talky before coffee. Hey, good to know. We know that now. Don't talk to me until the fourth cup. How long does it take you to drink four cups of coffee, Paul? What is this? Can anybody talk to you before noon or what, man?
Oh, Mom, not with the affirmation thing I get. Oh, yes. Yeah, they love that.
And then we have our kids going like, what are you trying to do? And it's really what we're doing, you guys, is for those of us with our kids, we're modeling, mm-hmm. right? We're modeling. They're seeing what we're doing. We're not perfect. And yet they're seeing that we love each other, that we care for each other, that we're growing in our marriage and in our lives. And, mm-hmm. and that makes a huge difference, because I believe more than what we ever say, they will see. And even if they don't say anything about it now, they will appreciate it. Mm-hmm. In years to come, just as I still was, I was even talking to Abby this morning just about, I think I get my mornings from my dad, and I love.
You think?
Yeah, I do. My dad would get up at 3 a.m. and I remember just even as a kid, my dad would be chipper as all get out at 3 a.m. ready to wake me up so we could go to work together. Cause we had a fairly long drive at times to get to job sites mm-hmm. and everything, here in Southern California. But you know, I love it. I love what my dad imparted on me. And a lot of that wasn't words, because he wasn't a talkative man when I was growing up, but it was the actions. Mm-hmm. And I believe those are what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So a couple of hours. That's great, Paul. That's great. You're like fourth cup. Do you have like it'd be awesome if you had like a little, some just like post-it notes. And on each cup, he'd put like a number one. So if somebody walked in, you know,
they're like, oh, 3, almost.
Almost there. We're almost there. We can talk to Paul here soon. So hopefully that's cool with you guys. We're going over a little over here, but I love it. Lisa and I both love this time, because this is what these calls are about. Quickly, just to close it up here. This month, position paper is spooning. It's a good one. I will have to say on that one, because of the position, guys, you may have to roll a little bit, and gals, you may have to roll just a little bit. It may be a rear entry at times just to be able to get, the penetration you want on that one. Jump and do the time inventory. We'd love to see pictures of it. How's it going for you? Again, process. If you don't get it all done, that's okay. What are you doing? Where are we going? You guys know we're not perfect here. You know what I mean? Some things take us a little bit longer than we'd like them to as well. But process, share what you guys are doing, what you're learning, what you're finding out. Mm-hmm. And then that way as a group, we can talk. I mean, as you can see, we got a lot of folks in here just going after you core guys, which is awesome. And those who are going to be listening afterwards, they'll be able to share. The book of the month, for those of you who are reading Miracle Morning, that's cool. But we really wanted to share this one, The Key to Sexual Fulfillment in Marriage. It is a quick little booklet right there by Jimmy Evans. He's awesome. I would say it is all of 68 pages. No, that's 64 pages. Real quick, real fun. A lot of what we've taught and shared over the years is in here, but I feel like there's some really good stuff that can, you know, impact your lives and maybe even somebody else that you know. Mm-hmm. So with that, I would just say, hey, if you're getting some good value out of what we do here in Position of the Month Club, share it with a friend. Mm-hmm. Let them know, get them in here. There are folks that need a community where we can love on them. We can laugh together, even if they're going through some difficult times, and if they're going through some good times, they can always, I believe, make it better. We had somebody share with us going, do you guys really do all those positions? Like, have you guys actually done those? And up to this point, yes, every position we share, we do them. Because she had mentioned, she's like, we know four. And so honestly, this is awesome because it allows people to go, wow, there's more than just missionary and maybe rear entry. So,
well, with that, it must be time to...
Are there cliff notes? Tammy, I'm sure there are cliff notes somewhere for you. Oh, Amazon, what do you mean live near a bookstore? Who lives near a bookstore anymore? Travis, I'm in San Diego and we don't have a bookstore.
Well, we have bookstores, but we don't order books from bookstores. Heck, Amazon Prime it is, yes.
Amazon Prime it always is, dude.
Let us know and we'll you know, get it ordered here to San Diego and then we'll just bring it to when we meet up with you guys.
Yeah.
You
know, no, Amazon Prime all day long, dude. I don't think we step into a bookstore.
Well, there is a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, but how?
We don't go there to buy books. Year? We just kind of go there to like...
browse when the kids are getting like yogurt or something. That's about it. All right.
Crazy life of the DeLorenzos.
All right, you guys. Love you. Have a fantastic week. Keep it going. Let us know what you guys are doing. And don't forget on the 23rd. Yes. You and Dustin.
Keep talking. Yes. So just a couple upcoming things next week on the One Extraordinary Marriage Facebook page on the 18th. I'm interviewing Melanie and Seth Studley from the Anatomy of a Marriage podcast. Mm-hmm. He is a marriage and family therapist, and their interview is entitled Confessions of a Real Life Marriage and Family Therapist and Their Almost Failed Marriage. So I'm super excited to be talking to them because you don't often get marriage and family therapists kind of sharing the behind the scenes stuff. So that's exciting. And then yes, on the, let me confirm that date. I want to say,
I think it's the 23rd. I thought we put it up here in the events, but our good friend Dustin Reekman from Engage yes. Marriage is going to be joining Alisa. For one of those master calls, master class calls.
And then on the 30th, I know you guys got to see James and Ashley of Rehab Gaming mm-hmm. here in the Position of the Month Club. But if you've got friends who aren't in the Position of the Month Club because you haven't invited them yet, they can hop onto the One Extraordinary Marriage Facebook page because I'm going to interview those guys again on a going deeper talking about, you know, and I know a lot of you are using the After Dark cards and the couples release cards. So we're going to be having them on again. So those are just some of the other events that are coming up here over the next few weeks.
Yeah. That's it. Love you guys. Fantastic call. Man, this was great. We look forward to doing this even more each month with you guys because this is what this time is all about mm-hmm. for you guys. So have a great day. Have a great evening. Love you guys. And we'll catch you next time.